What's happening, everybody? I want to welcome you back to another exciting episode of The Stage Is Yours. I, today, am joined by podcast greatness. I am being joined by star of stage and pod, Scare You to Sleep's Shelby Scott. How are you?
I'm good. Star of stage and pod. I've never heard that, and that's my new favorite.
There you go. Put it on a shirt.
Yeah.
It's early for you. It's like 10 o'clock. Like, I thank you for getting up this early and talking to me. This is cool.
Oh, for sure. And thank you for acknowledging that 10 a.m. is early. I'm a night owl, so.
Oh, my God. It's totally early. When you were like, can we do it 10 a.m., you know, 10 Pacific? And I'm like, yeah. You know, because it's 3 hours. If you had asked to do it like 10 Eastern, I'd have been like, yeah, no, I don't know. Like, I could definitely show up, but you're not getting my A game, that's for sure.
But yeah, for sure. That's why I was like, this is a casual ask. This is not, like, a definite.
It's perfect, because this is a casual show, for sure. But, all right. So, I'm going to do something a little bit out of order. Usually, I save all the plugging stuff for, like, the very end. And I always feel like with podcasts, like when you get to the end, like it doesn't matter. Like everybody would think that like, oh, you're just sitting and talking. But it is kind of exhausting when you get to the end of like an hour long recording session or more. It's really tiring. Like you're just kind of exhausted. And then the host is like, hey, can you cheerily tell us about all the stuff you've got going on? And it's like, no, I don't know. Like why couldn't you ask me about that sooner? So right now, right off the bat, plug anything you want to plug.
Awesome. And I appreciate that. Yeah, there have been so many times where at the end I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to do that.
Right.
I don't
it's
remember
such an afterthought.
Who I am. Okay. So, yeah, my show is Scare You to Sleep. And you can find that on any podcatcher out there. There's also a YouTube channel I actually just released for Halloween. I read The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, the actual original story. And I put it up on YouTube with a lot of like autumnal visuals and things, if you want to throw that on. Mm-hmm. It's really cool and spooky, and it's a lot of ambiance, you know?
Right, right.
And let's see, what else? Oh, you can find me or the show on all the socials at Scare You to Sleep. Luckily, I grabbed those real early, so it's pretty easy.
Right, yeah.
What else? Oh, I have some other projects coming up, but I can't talk about them yet, unfortunately. Okay. But I have some real cool stuff coming down the pipe. If you're into, I'll just give a hint, 80s horror, like Creepshow-esque horror.
Sweet.
Yeah. And I also have a live show in Chicago.
Yeah,
if you're going to be in Chicago and have an extra $25, come see me at the Music Box Theater with two other podcasters, John Grills of Creepy and Pacific Obadiah of the SCP Archives.
That's going to be super exciting. When you announced that you were doing that, I was like, oh, that's so cool.
I'm so excited. It's one of my dreams. And it was one of those things where it's like, I never imagined I would get to a point where I could even do a live show, you know, just my show is so, it's just me. It's just, I'm the whole production team and everything.
Right.
So having this opportunity is, for one, I'm so nervous. I mean, I like have goosebumps just thinking about it right now.
Right.
And also I'm so honored.
You're going to kill it. It's going to be great.
Thank you.
Don't even sweat it. all right. So then for me to plug my stuff, because when I get to the end, I absolutely like I have one of those things where like I forget everything and like, all right, you have to do your plugs. And I'm like, oh, God, I have like 5 shows and I don't remember any of them.
Yeah, I know you have a list. I'm pretty easy. I'm like, here's the one. Go to it.
It's like everybody think, oh, you have so much stuff that you have to do. Like the problem with that is that I have so many ideas and none of them fit into one show. So I have to make like different shit. So what you would do for us is you're going to go look for the How We Saw It Podcast Network Presents. Really long name. I kind of envisioned it as being like PBS almost, where it's like, or have you ever seen the Weird Al Yankovic movie UHF?
Oh my God, yeah.
How We Saw It is U62, where it's just me standing in front of a board going, what do you want to make a show about this week, Aaron? And then I just kind of throw anything at the wall and I see what sticks. So if you go and search for that, you're going to find all the old episodes of How We Saw It with Mike and I when he was still doing the mic work on the show. You are going to find The Voices in Between, which is the mental health show that I do with my daughter. And I'm actually recording a new one of that next week. And we're going to change up the show a little bit. Like, we've decided to kind of shake things up and make it a little bit more. Mental health is fun to talk about, and it's important to talk about, but you don't always have things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't always have, like, every week I don't have something that I need to talk about. Like, so.
Yeah, definitely.
We were kind of like, well, do you want to record? Yeah, but I don't have anything. So I kind of shook the ideas up and figured out how to make it work a little bit better. Obviously, you can find episodes of The Stage Is Yours on there. We've only got about 5 or 6 of them now. You can find episodes of All Kings Considered, which is my Stephen King.
I love that show.
Thank you. I don't think I've ever been more, like, naming something is the hardest part of any project, I find. So coming up with that name, I was so proud of myself. I was like, oh, wow. Like, it's a riff on NPR, All Things Considered, except it's All Kings. So I do that with my wife. That's pretty fun. And then I have, it's my pet project, but out of all of the shows that I do, and I do love everything that I do, like, I wouldn't put it out if I didn't think the product was good. I have a music show that I do. You can only listen to it on Spotify, unfortunately, because it's the only way I can make the song.
Integrate the music.
Yeah. It's called The Shangri-La Lounge. It's like 20 minutes long. I usually do 5 or 6 songs, and then interspersed in between the songs is me kind of doing like that late night radio thing. Like, it's my late night radio voice, I guess.
I was working for Spotify when they rolled that out, where you're able to put in like full actual songs, and that was
like
really
a game
exciting.
Changer. Yeah, it was very fun for me because it was something that I've always wanted to do, but I didn't want to work for like big radio because they make you play like the same 10 songs all the time, and I can only get so excited about a new Red Hot Chili Peppers song, like I just can't do it. So this allowed me to basically play the stuff I wanted to play and talk about it how I wanted to talk about it in between. So it's been a lot of fun. All right, but anyway, there's the self high five for myself right there. all right, we'll dig into why everybody is really here. All right, so Shelby, tell me all about Scare You to Sleep. Where did you get the idea from?
So Scare You to Sleep, it's so weird. I've explained this so many times, and every time I'm like, what is it? I thought of the concept a little over 4 years ago. I had a lot of friends who slept to podcasts, you know, they used them to fall asleep to, and I just couldn't do it. I had a lot of favorite podcasts, but they were all too like loud or, you know, animated, which is great when you're awake, but not great to sleep to.
Yeah.
And I'm also really into horror. And so I kind of thought, I kind of came up with the idea of wanting to do a podcast before the actual podcast, because I am also a horror writer. I write a lot of horror, short horror stories, and short horror stories don't really have a place to live, you know, unless you can compile an anthology, or like sell them to magazines, which is all super viable. That's what a lot of people do. But like, I didn't even know that much at the time.
Right.
I was very new. And so I was like, what do I do with these? And No Sleep, the No Sleep podcast, picked up one of my stories and did an amazing job with it. And I was like, I was so stoked about it that I decided, I was like, you know, this might be a great way to get my work out into the world. And
yeah, that's a fantastic idea. Yeah.
Yeah. And at the time, I kind of deluded myself into thinking like I could send it to publishers and be like, here's my work. And it'd be so unique. And that's not how anything works.
Right.
You know, because of your wife,
yeah.
She knows how,
yeah.
You know. And so hi, Jen, by the way. So I started the show as sort of a hobby. In fact, if you go back and look at the dates, my first episode and second episode came out a month apart. And now I'm weekly, which just shows that at the time it really was just kind of a hobby, throwing it up there, not really thinking anything much would come of it. But from there, and it was such a niche idea at the time, I felt anyway. At the time, I felt like this was not something a lot of people would want, like me just gently reading them horror stories, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't have voice actors or anything. I still don't. And so I didn't really think it would go very far. But then all of a sudden, it just grew an audience and it got picked up. The funniest thing is it got put into the new and noteworthy section of, it wasn't Apple Podcasts yet, but iTunes. Apple Podcasts hadn't come out yet.
Right.
But I don't have an iPhone, so I didn't even know.
So you didn't
and
even
I
know,
couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't see it. I got an email from them about it. And I was like, I had to call my husband because he has an iPhone. I was like, can you look at this thing? I don't know what they're talking about. Like, is this a big deal? And right. He was like, he sent me a screenshot and he's like, you're on the front page. And it was from there that especially gave me a huge leg up. And I will always be grateful to Apple, whoever at Apple who heard my show randomly, my 2-episode show, and was like, this kid's got something going for her. <You know? laughs> So that is kind of how the show started. And yeah, it's basically I like to even throw in the term wellness. I know that sounds bananas, but I feel like horror is really an escape for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, especially fiction, you know? And so I feel like it really, I've heard back from so many listeners over the years who have told me that it's helped them through cancer treatments and rehab and things like that, where they're like, it truly is an escape. And to hear you just reading me a story, like, and I always like to tell my listeners, it's like, you and me are friends and we're just reading, I'm just reading you a story. I'm telling you about something around a campfire. And it's luckily, and this might sound, this does not sound very humble, but it's true. I feel like I've brought a lot of joy to people and escape to people who really needed it, and in a really odd space that no one really knew existed,
right,
you know, 5 years ago. So yeah, that's the show.
I mean, I honestly, like, you have every right to kind of not be humble in that scenario. I think that's like, it's a really valid point. Like, sometimes when you get into doing a project, you don't realize the impact that it's going to have on people or how it's going to affect them. So, you know, for you, you're just sitting down in front of your setup and you're softly talking through some scary stories. But for somebody else, they might be, like you said, like they're sitting down going through a cancer treatment, and it's your voice that's kind of lulling them through this process. Like,
oh yeah,
you're taking them completely out of the actuality of their life, and for an hour or however long your episode is, you are kind of washing away their fears, so to speak. Like, it's huge. Like, it's an amazing, like, I've said it to, like, previous guests on the show, like, a lot of us, like, you and Andre and Katie and Whitney, and I think maybe even Trista at one point, we were all in this podcast group of people that were just starting out. Like, we were just starting out. We all had these ideas, and I think Andre made this group up for us to kind of bounce ideas off of. And it's been so amazing for me to see how far everybody's gone. Like, I told my wife at the beginning of the week, like when I asked you to be on the show and that you were like, yeah, I was like, fucking sweet. This is going to be great. Like, Shelby's coming on the show. This is awesome. And then as, like, you know, like Monday hit, I was like, oh God, like the butterflies started to kick in a little bit. Because I would say that you're arguably the biggest interview I've done. And I'm not a comfortable interviewer. Like, I'm still kind of working out the kinks as far as that goes. It is not my default setting by any means. So having you on the show for me was kind of, it's the culmination, because I said when Mike stepped back from the show and I had to take over, I knew I had to do things a little bit differently, and I couldn't just be kind of the laid back humor of the show, basically. Like, I had to be like, when you were like, oh, well, it's, you know, you're the host, we can do what you want. I had that moment of like, fuck, I am the host. What do I want to do? I don't know.
I know. I literally said,
right?
Aaron, it's your show.
Right. Yeah. You were like, hey dude, remember this is your show. And I was like, oh my God, it is my show. Having you on the show is like the culmination of, I wanted to have everybody in that group on my show. I wanted to give everybody in that group, like a spotlight.
A platform.
Yeah. I wanted to give everybody a platform to kind of show off where we all kind of started from. And, and you have been like meteoric in kind of like how popular you've gotten. So having you come on the show, like, I jokingly said to my wife, I said, Shelby's the boss fight. Like, you're like the final boss. Like, if I can nail this interview, like, I'll know I'm good at what I'm doing. Like, I'll be able to be comfortable as an interviewer now if I can nail this episode.
Oh, my God. I really appreciate that. Like, and it's seriously, the fact that, like, I credit these groups that we were in as a huge part of it. I mean, for one, all the advice and the feedback that I got in the beginning, that everyone was so, like, lovingly able to give me. And the fact that people were hyping up the show and, you know, it kind of grew. I mean, the groups that we were in or we are in, they have such an audience in themselves that I feel like I would have never been where I am now without the support of all of you. I mean, when I was first starting, there was a time where I mean, Jen, I read part of her book on my show.
Yeah, you did. You did. That's right.
Yeah. And that was, at the time, it was like, she was doing me a favor. I needed content.
Right.
And I wanted to hype up her book. And I didn't have a huge audience at the time. But it was like, hey, can I read part? I like your book. Can I read part of it on the show? And like, so I feel like we've all helped each other out for so long, you know?
It's been kind of, you know, the social media and the internet are not always a haven of support, you could argue.
Definitely so
it's been
not.
It's been kind of nice that, like you said, like we all kind of just stood behind each other and pushed, so to speak.
Yeah. And I feel like it's been such a joy. I mean, we've all experienced our own share of the terrible social media stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But from the point of like all of our podcasts, I feel like we've been nothing but supportive of each other.
Yeah.
Like, you know, cross promotions. I've been on, you know, Whitney and Katie's show.
Yeah.
I've done cross promotions with Andre's show. And like, here I am now. And yeah, I feel like we've all just been like, it's like we're all a little family and we're like, I just want you to do great. You know,
get out there and get them, like, you know, go get them, Tiger, kind of. Yeah. All right. So, all right, you mentioned the No Sleep. Were there any other shows that kind of inspired you to do what you did with Scare You to Sleep?
You know, my first instinct is to say no, but I can't say no because I'm sure I was. I'm sure I was honestly mostly inspired by, I'm really into ASMR, and I know a lot of people find ASMR really strange, but I'm really into ASMR and guided meditations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really wanted to find a way to combine ASMR and horror. And that's kind of what I did, which it's not everyone's cup of tea. It's not fully ASMR, by the way. If you listen to my show, I don't think anyone who is in the ASMR community would even consider my show ASMR.
Right.
But it was definitely a jumping off point of, I wanted a lot of ambiance. I wanted you to get lost. I wanted sound effects that were just enough to make you feel like you were in the room with these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really, it was a big learning lesson in sound design. I'm all self-taught with that too. It was a lot of late night YouTube tutorials and things to learn sound design. And so, that's honestly a lot of my inspiration was a combination of the horror podcasts I've listened to and plus ASMR, like a combination of the two.
Right. That's fantastic. I mean, what more do you need, right? Like, you gotta have a starting point from somewhere. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that like the cool thing for me is that it's not just you like putting on an episode. It's not just you telling a story, right? I can listen to an audiobook if I want someone to just tell me a story. Like you make it an experience with whether it be with the background music or the ambient sounds or just your voice in general, which is so just like you could be talking about the most horrific thing and you know the way your voice comes across, it's like, well, it ain't that bad, like, you know, it's so like it's just you make like unpleasant things pleasant.
Thank you. You know what's so funny, I just had someone write an article. It wasn't all about my show, but I was included in like a list of horror podcasts to listen to, which was so flattering, and they said this phrase and it was like, it's surprisingly gruesome for the gentle tone, I think that's how they put it. And I was like, ah, that was like, to me, it was like such a huge compliment.
Right, that is
like
a really
big compliment. That's exactly what I'm going for.
Yeah, exactly. That's totally the vibes I get. All right, so obviously talking about Endless Nights and things like that, like it obviously it was a learning process to do the show, especially with yours, I imagine, because it is just you. Like, you had to do all the editing and all of the sound and everything. Like, I can't even imagine how like, it's daunting to me to, like, I literally just record and then I say, hey, Mike, the files are there. And then he does it. And then that's kind of where I wash my hands of it. But so I can't even imagine how difficult it must have been just all together. Like, did you find certain aspects of it easier to take to, or did you kind of just over time just kind of get to all of it? Like, is there still parts of it that you're just like, fuck, I have to, like, I have to do this, I hate this, or whatever? But
yeah, you know, it's so funny. I still do everything myself, by the way. I don't have an editor still. And I think the hardest part in the beginning was the narration. I wasn't a voice actor when I first started. I guess I can consider myself one now that I've done so many different shows too.
Right.
But narrating, I mean, I stumble over words a lot. I do a lot of takes of different lines. Like, if I ever, I've almost wanted to do an episode where I don't edit all my bloopers, which is so funny because I just told you about my mishap this week, which I can mention because it's pretty funny. To show people, in fact, I did a little TikTok when I was trying to do TikTok, but I'm not cool enough. I just couldn't figure it out. Not that I couldn't figure it out, but I just like couldn't figure how to make my show into TikTok.
Yeah.
But I did one where I was like, I just videoed myself, and it was literally for 30 seconds of me reading, and I messed up like twice, and I was like, so I've gotten a lot better over the years. Especially, I did a show with when I was working with Spotify, I did a show for Parcast called Mediums, mm-hmm. and that show was the first show I had a director sitting there with me and like explaining how to, like, really directing me in a really professional manner. She would teach me how to like slow down and how to breathe through things. Mm-hmm. And it was so helpful. And ever since then, I've like narrating has been a lot more pleasant and a lot more of a breeze than it was for years. For years,
right.
It was the hardest part. In fact, editing takes the longest, but the narrating I would put off because it was like, okay, it was like a nightmare just sitting there. Not that I hated doing it. It's just that, again, I wasn't like a natural speaker, and I knew how to like make my voice sound more podcasty and like do the gentle tones, mm-hmm. but I would get so frustrated. So yeah, the actual just recording was probably the hardest part for me to overcome.
Wow.
Like, when it comes to editing, again, the YouTube tutorials, there's a way to do everything in editing. You can look up how to do something, how to fix something.
Right.
You know, but when it comes to narrating,
yeah,
that's
you either
all
got
you.
It or you don't,
it's,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just you, and you're just like, it feels, it's like, even though I'm alone in my, you know, little recording corner, you still feel so naked, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You feel so like, this is, and especially listening to the raw audio before it's edited, it was like, oh, God. Like, not that I edit my voice much, but it's just
you pick
something
up
about it,
listening,
you know?
To
and
yourself,
a lot of
people
the hate their own voices,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I've looked into doing some editing, but I just, it kind of baffles me. Jen calls me like one take Thomas because like I just sit down and I record and whatever comes out, that's it. I think the only show I've ever flubbed lines on and had to start over was The Lounge, because that's a bit more scripted, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine If you flub a line, how far back do you generally have to go? Like, if you flub a line, do you have to start, like, you don't have to start completely over, but like, are you looking at like, God damn it, I have to go back like 5 minutes and start over again? Like,
you know, no, and that was honestly another thing that I learned from Parcast. They actually really taught me how to continue like halfway through a sentence. And so that was really helpful. Like,
wow.
I can, yeah. And every once in a while, I'm not perfect at it yet. I'm sure when people listen to the show, you can hear where my voice changes slightly enough to where you can tell it was a new take.
Yeah.
But I've gotten a lot better at it where I don't have to, because I used to do that. I'd be like, I got to go all the way back to the beginning of this page, you know, and fix it all.
Right.
And when I was doing that process with Parcast, I'd be like, well, okay, I'll go back to the beginning. But they were honestly, it was the time constraint. We only had a certain amount of time to record each week.
Right.
And so it was like, nope, you're not going back to the beginning of the page. You're
right.
Going to start right here.
Middle
you only
of this
messed
sentence,
up,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You only messed up these two words in the middle of this sentence. So you're going to start in the middle of the sentence. And it was like, okay, sure.
Wow. All right. It's very, it's so odd. It's so odd.
Yeah.
Was the success of the show a surprise to you, or did you kind of realize from the start that, like I don't want to say, like, you walked in, you were like, this show is the best damn show that has ever been recorded. Like, I don't want to make you sound like you're coming across that way. Like, when you finally got an episode or two under your belt, were you like, nah, I kind of have something here. Like, this is something. Like, this works.
You know, I thought it was pretty cool, but I kept in mind that I really thought it was too niche of an idea to ever find a big audience, at least not the audience the size that I have now. Mm-hmm. It just felt like there's only got to be like 10 other people in the world who's like into this, right? Right,
yeah.
And it's so funny because I've had so many people who listen to the show who have told me, like, I didn't know I wanted that. And then I found your show, and it's like, turns out that's what I needed in
exactly
my life.
Exactly what they wanted, like, yeah.
Yeah, and I started, like, some of my promos even say, like, this is something for someone who needs something a little stronger than counting sheep. And honestly, the biggest surprise came from the people who re-listen, which is a large part of my audience. They listen once to fall asleep, and then they'll listen the next day to actually hear the story.
Okay.
And it's, which is so interesting, and I had no idea I would have a show that was interesting enough to listen to twice,
right,
much less for so many people to say, tell me that they listened to it twice. And so not really. I mean, I knew it was like, I thought it was a good show, and I thought it was a solid idea, or I wouldn't have done it, because I'm really hard on myself.
Yeah.
And I had tried to start a couple podcasts before then that I never even really uploaded because I just didn't like, they just weren't up to my terms and everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So this one, it's like, I knew it was a solid idea, but I didn't think there was an audience for it. That was probably my biggest drawback, was like, okay, it's good, but there's not enough people to listen, you know?
Right. So like you said in the beginning, you did a lot of the writing yourself. A lot of it was your own short stories and things like that. Was it a difficult process finding other people to provide content? And how do you go into deciding what stories make it onto the show, or you get a submission and it's just not what you're looking for? Like, that's got to be like a really kind of walking on eggshells kind of thing, because people are handing you their work.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to be like, eh.
Yeah, for sure. So the submissions came in pretty quickly. I had people... I think because I have such a unique way of producing the show, I had several authors who were like, can you do that to my story? And
right.
There are a lot of authors out there who are in the same boat as me, where it's like, I have these short horror stories and I don't really know what to do with them.
Yeah.
And so pretty quickly, people were just sending them. I created an email address and I was like, if you want to send me stories, then send them here. And I got submissions. Now I'm like a year behind in submissions.
Wow.
Yeah, I get a lot of submissions. And I basically the way that's so funny, because most shows, and rightfully so, they have like a list of rules about submitting stories. Like, it has to be this many words. It has to be, you know, this many characters.
You can't touch on this. No topics like this.
Yeah, exactly. And again, rightfully so.
Yeah.
I have never had one. And I don't plan to, because I feel like I discover things that I would have never known were interesting. There are some stories that I've had on my show. I will definitely not name them because I don't want anyone to feel any sort of way.
Right.
There are stories I've had on my show where they didn't grab me, but there was something about them that I was like, I'm going to do this one.
Right.
And see what the audience says. And several of those have gone over so well. Like, there are several of them that people will say it's their favorite episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like the stories I have on the show aren't all necessarily, to me, like my favorite, most scariest story I've ever read. But I feel like that was a problem in the... I don't even want to say problem, because I'm really trying not to like shade anyone.
Yeah,
else.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Yeah.
But like, other shows have such stringent, you know, like ideas of what they want on the show, which is totally their show.
Right.
They can do whatever they want. But There was some, I felt like since my show was so hobbled together in like a closet that I wanted to do the same thing with these stories that maybe hadn't found an audience before. And I did, I have had several authors who are like, oh my God, no one would pick up this strange story that I wrote, and because it didn't really fit anywhere. Or I'll have like even stories that are like really short, like too short for mm-hmm. some of the other shows. And I'm like, don't worry, I'll just slap it in there with a few other stories to create an entire episode.
Like an
you know?
Anthology and, episode, yeah.
Exactly. And like I had the brevity episodes for a while. I don't do them as much anymore. I just don't get as many super short stories. But the brevity episodes, where they were literally like 2-minute stories. And I put like, I would put like 20 of them in one episode.
Right.
And so, yeah, I just feel like I try to be more eclectic with what I choose and don't just go on my own tastes. Because horror is so expansive that, I mean, I can't just go on my own tastes. Otherwise, it would just be like a haunted house set in the 17th century with a ghost in it every week, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
Then that would get boring. And so that's why I try to throw in other stuff that, again, is, and then I've discovered so much new horror that I like actually do like and wouldn't have thought I would before. And I think it's the same with my audience too. It's the one thing that I do pride myself on whenever I see get written up in like articles and things is they do mention how eclectic the stories are. Like it's something different every week. It's not the same.
Right.
And so, yeah, but yeah, with submissions, I have so many. In fact, I feel bad. I've gotten to the point where people will be like, I sent you something 6 months ago and you never said anything. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. It's only me.
It's just only you.
And I can only read so much in a day, plus recording, plus editing, plus doing, I do all my own social media, plus, you know, all that stuff. So
plus yeah. just normal life, you know, like
plus just life. Yeah. Living life.
Sometimes I have to go to the grocery store, you know, like,
I got to eat at some point. And I'm so sorry, but I do have to eat.
So I have to point out or I'm going to forget. Because that's how I do things here. I think about them in the middle of like somebody saying something else and then I completely forget them when they're done. I listened to the Sleepy Hollow episode and I absolutely loved it. Because I live around here. That's like where I am. Basically.
That's right. Yeah.
About an hour or so from Sleepy Hollow. So he's, you know, like you're talking about like, oh, in Tarrytown. I'm like, I know where Tarrytown is. Like you're talking about all these places. I'm like, I know where these places are. So
That is so cool. I want to go visit around there at some point.
It's not quite, it's one of those towns where they know their own legends. So they kind of,
I've heard.
They pump it up a little bit, kind of like Salem does. Like they kind of, they're Salem. Like we're Sleepy Hollow. We know what we're doing. So, and also before I forget, my wife wanted me to make sure that you have to talk about your cooking, your scare you to eat stuff.
My scare you to eat. So, the show, one thing that it kind of evolved into was I started just on a whim doing these like rambles at the end of the show mm-hmm. where I would just turn back into me and not the spooky ghost host, you know? And at first, this is a peek behind the curtain. So in the beginning, I was like, I'm going to be like Elvira. I'm just going to be like this spooky, mysterious character who like no one really knows who I am or where I live and like what my whole deal is. That lasted maybe 5 seconds, if at all. And I'd have to go back and listen to the first episode, but like I probably didn't even make it through the first episode. I'm just too much of a talker.
Right.
And I started just kind of talking at the end of each episode, little bits about my life and stuff. And at first I got a few bad reviews about it. They were like, I don't care about your life. I don't care about you. I just want to hear horror stories. So I kind of stopped doing it. But when I stopped doing it is when I had this influx, way more than the bad reviews, of people who were like, why'd you stop? I liked hearing about your week and like what you were baking. And a lot of it was what I was baking that week. I bake once a week usually. And I would just kind of share about like what I baked that week or what I cooked that week. And it turned into this whole facet of the show that people look forward to mm-hmm. about me being like, here's what I baked this week. So the Facebook group has grown a lot. The Scare You to Sleep Facebook group. If you want to join, go ahead. It's fun. And from there, I was like, I wonder if I should, because honestly, I got the idea from the groups that we came from, the last podcast groups. Yeah. And all the little iterations that that came off of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, what if I did like an eating one, one with recipes and things. And so that became Scary to Eat. And so that's another one you can join. And we share like what we had for dinner that night, just different recipes, all kinds of stuff. If I mention a recipe on the show, I'll try to remember to go to Scary to Eat and like, here's the recipe I mentioned and things like that. And it's really neat because it is such a beloved part of my life is cooking and baking. And the fact that other people were interested as well, like I have this family recipe. It's a giant chocolate cinnamon roll I mentioned in one of the earlier episodes. And people were like, can I have that recipe? Can I have that recipe? Can I have that recipe? And it meant a lot, too, to my family who I told them, I was like, everybody wants this recipe. And so I shared it. And they think it's like amazing that all these people are out there now who we've never met before are out there making our giant
Your
chocolate cinnamon
recipe,
roll
yeah.
recipe. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's like one of the, like, good Lord, people complaining about you talking about your life at the end of an episode. Like, I can understand if you stopped like in the middle of a story and were like, you know, I was I was frying an egg the other day and whatever.
Right.
And like, you know, like, and then I can understand complaining about it. But at the end of the episode, sit down, you grumpy bastard. Like, what the hell?
Right.
Like, you already got your entertainment. Turn it off if you don't want any more.
That's the thing. And I always figure, like, if you don't want this part, if you want to keep it at this the story, then turn it off. And that's totally fine with me. You know what's so funny, though? When I got those bad reviews, it's like not funny, haha. It's funny, like, the internet will always be like this.
Yeah.
The week that I got a lot of those was because in the intro, I did talk a little bit about life. And it's because I live in Southern California and we were having the really bad fires.
Right.
That were actually getting close to where I live. Like,
wow.
There was ash all over everything. You could see the fires on the, like, from our window. And like, so I just mentioned the fires and said, like, I think I was just letting people know in case there wasn't an episode the next week or something, in case we had to evacuate. And that was the week people were like, I don't care about your life. And I was like, I was just letting you know there's like my life might be on fire in a second, like literal fire. So,
like you were literally thinking about other people in the middle of like some bad shit going on with you. Like my life might burn down around me, but I wanted you all to know that I might not be able to get an episode out to you next week just in case. Like, what a bunch
I
of
could
dicks.
Not believe it. And I remember I had to keep in the mindset of like, I just have to laugh because this is the internet. These are people on the internet. These are the people who can stay anonymous and go to Apple and be like, I don't care about your life or these fires. You know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You poor Southern California woman with your fires. Goodness gracious. For anybody out there listening that has that idea in mind, you sit down until that idea passes you. Like, don't come at your entertainers complaining about the entertainment.
The thing that possesses people to go log in and complain about, it baffles me.
Right?
Like one thing I always say on the show and I make sure people know on social media, I am always open to constructive criticism because that's how my show got better. Like I've had, in the beginning, I had people who gave me really great criticisms that helped me make the show sound better and get better. So I'm always open to those. I am not above, I don't think I'm above learning, you know, but some of them that I get are just, I mean, you had Whitney and Katie on.
Yeah.
They get some bananas reviews. Like,
oh goodness. Yeah.
Oh my God. They get some great. And you know, I might too, but I just, to be honest, I don't read reviews anymore. I
honestly don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. Like,
usually,
for every good one, there's like five bad ones. So like, you know,
yeah,
somebody
the constructive criticism. Yeah, exactly. And the constructive stuff will usually come in an email or a DM. And it'll be like, hey, just wanted to let you know the sound here was a little. And like, I'll get like, hey, this sound effect was a little loud and I couldn't hear what you said.
Mm.
And those will come in an email, not in a review, really.
Right,
you know?
Not on Twitter.
And, yeah, exactly. Those will be the weird, like, I had one that was like, her voice makes me want to punch a wall. And it's like, well, that just makes my day sour. And
right?
I can't help my voice. I can't make it different. So
and also, what show were they listening to? Like what show were they possibly listening to? What a bunch of dumbassery.
It's so funny. And you know, that's what's unfortunate about the human condition is we should remember all the good ones. That is a review I got probably the first year I was doing the show, and it's obviously still stuck in my mind.
Right? Which, like, is it one of those ones that pops into your mind at like 3 o'clock in the morning when you're trying to fall asleep?
Yes. And it's like, why did this one stick with me? I know I got some beautiful, nice reviews in the first year. Why is this one haunting me? Like, why?
It's got to be just the absolute brazen stupidity of it. Like, where that, like, where you're kind of just like, who had the balls to do that? Like, good God. Like, you wouldn't walk up to a person on the street and just say that.
Oh, yeah.
Out of fear of what would happen. Like, but
it's
you,
so
you
funny.
Can do it
anonymously. When I do
That's
get,
totally fine. Yeah.
Yeah. When I do get DMs that are really rude, I try to respond with the old, like, killing them with kindness thing.
Yeah.
And I've gotten several, like, probably about 10 at least. Usually men, I have to say, I'm sorry, but it is usually men.
No, it's fine.
Usually
we're
men.
Assholes.
But they, when I respond back to them, like 9 out of 10 times, it's like, oh, I didn't know you were the one running, actually doing the social media. I didn't know I'd actually hear from you. And it comes down real fast to like, oh, well, no, I didn't like mean that I think you're ugly and stupid.
Yeah.
I meant
it metaphorically.
Like, yeah. And like, it comes down real fast when they are confronted with the fact that I'm a real human being,
right?
You know, and I'm not some celebrity who's above these things. It's like, I'm still just a normal person who like goes through hard times. And I like, that's another thing too. I've had a few people who think I'm like mega rich from this show.
Right.
I don't know why. And I'm like, I don't know what about my shitty LA apartment tells you that I'm rich. Oh. But yeah, like I had one who said that I was contemporaries with the My Favorite Murder Women hosts. And they said something about like in comparison how like people like us are just like, it was something like about us being elitist. And I was like, I'm sorry. Do you think I make as much money as My Favorite Murder?
Right.
They make like millions of dollars a year. Are you kidding me?
Like, you'd be happy with like 2/3 of that. Or like, you know, like some
exactly.
just fraction of it.
Exactly. It's like one of those moments where it's like, do you want to see how I put my electric bill on a payment plan?
Right.
Like, do I need to prove this to you? Not that I feel like I need to, but it is really funny. Like, the world of podcasting is so different because, and I think it's so new to everyone, that you will see someone who seems like a celebrity to you because you listen to their show. And like, I do have a large audience and I've been fortunate to turn this into a career.
Yeah.
But like, there are different levels. There's a big gap between like me and Joe Rogan.
Yeah. And you know what? Thank God for that. It like I feel like podcasters kind of get lumped in the same kind of scenario like Twitch streamers. Like, you hear about a Twitch streamer that makes like millions of dollars. So
yes.
The assumption is that everyone on Twitch must make millions
yeah.
of dollars. So you hear about
yeah.
podcasters that are like wildly successful and they make all this money. So the assumption is if you make a podcast and you're fairly popular, you must be like we have no merch here on the show, but I've always said that the first shirt I'm going to make out of irony is I'm going to put our logo on it. And it's just going to say rolling in that sweet, sweet podcast money. Like, but that's kind of like how, like, it's just the joke. Like, somebody like, oh, are you, you know, how many views you got or how many, you know, how many listens you got? I am rolling in that sweet, sweet podcast money.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God. It's so true. Well, and then you'll get like sponsors that are big sponsors for
right.
you. But I think a lot of people don't realize like I wouldn't, if I got the same sponsor as say, like Last Podcast on the Left.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be making the same amount
no.
because they go off of your listen. So it's like, okay, we might have the same sponsor, like say like, I don't know, Simply Safe or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we might have the same ad, but we're not getting the same paycheck,
yeah.
my friend.
Yeah, yeah. We are not, I'm not rolling in the same parties with them. Like, it's just not
yeah,
quite the same.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, not to, like, go throw out there that I'm, like, an urchin or something.
Right,
but,
no.
you know.
But, like, if they're making $50 on an ad, you're making, like, you might be making $15. You
yeah,
know,
exactly,
kind of that kind of
exactly.
thing. Like, there's a really big difference.
Yeah, and I feel like that's one thing I like to be transparent about my audience with, and I throw it out there a lot about the way podcasting works. Sometimes I'll go on little rants about it. I have a thing on my Patreon that's called Ramble You to Sleep, and I just I basically just ramble, and I've called it, I'm like, the other title is Bore You to Sleep, because I just talk about my life and talk right. about stuff. And the recent one I did, I went into like depths about like, this is kind of how podcasting works. And, you know, people keep their listens really quiet. Like, you're not supposed to tell people how many downloads you get a month because it's private. And right. I don't know why, because on YouTube, you can see how many views they get.
But is it like the same podcasts, kind of thing where people don't talk about how much money, like, you know, don't talk about how much you get in your paycheck to your other?
It is.
Your,
it's it is, really right? funny. It's like an etiquette thing. And I've explained like how ads work and how, you know, how this, like, I explained the difference between like baked in ads and programmatic ads and dynamic ads. And I was like, I feel like the audience, not that they need to hear this, but it's it. If I was an audience member and I didn't know that, I feel like it would be helpful to me to understand why this ad was there, why you have to have ads, and like, because so many people get a really upset about ads in general, and it's like, you have to understand how much work goes into this. If I stop putting ads on my show, then the show ends, because right. I have to get another job. I can't do it at this pace.
Yeah.
It'll go down to maybe one a month, you know, and so here's why.
And then
why.
Your listens dip because people get upset because you're not
exactly.
putting out
content.
Like, so, yeah, it all affects. Everything is all, you know, tied in together.
Yeah, and so that's why I've always thought it was just important to be really open with your audience instead of this weird secretive thing that
right.
people do, you know?
Yeah, I get it. Like, it's definitely, like, it's fun. Like, I would argue mm-hmm. that this is probably the most enjoyable thing that I've ever done. Like, I don't mm-hmm. I don't make any money on it, but, like, it's fun. Like, it's legitimately one of the most enjoyable, like, I'm using air quotes, careers I've ever had, 'cause this is kind of always what I've wanted to do. But yeah, it's not lucrative by any means. Like, unless you're
yeah.
really, unless you're like, you know, unless you hit perfect and like, let's be honest, some of that is luck. Like, there's a certain amount of luck involved.
Oh,
in that.
Definitely.
Like,
I will all
talent will
agree
get you in the
that.
Room. Talent mm-hmm. will 100% get you in the room. And I would like to say that over time, I would hope that talent is what gets you noticed, but luck has to factor into it a little bit too. And that sucks.
Definitely.
Like, luck having to factor it in just kind of takes the wind out of, like, I'm sure you've had episodes that you've recorded where you're like, this one's going to hit. Like, I got a really good feeling about it. And maybe it's not as popular as one that you thought wasn't
yep.
quite as good. Like, it kind of deflates you a little bit because you're like, what the mm-hmm. fuck am I doing wrong? Like, but that's
yeah,
just,
it's
not what
so
it's about.
Hard
it's,
to gauge.
It's luck.
Oh, yeah. Well, even my first, like I said, that in the beginning when I talked about the new and noteworthy thing with Apple, I mean, I consider that luck.
Yeah.
Someone at Apple was reviewing new podcasts probably to put into the new and noteworthy. And how many thousands of new podcasts probably go up a day, you
right.
know? And happened to come across mine, something about maybe the art, something about the title, something. I don't even know what. Something just caught their eye.
Yeah.
And that was luck, you know? I'm sure there were millions of other podcasts that day that were just as good, if not better than mine. But something,
yeah.
you know, something happened. So.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate, and you want everybody that's talented to be successful, but, like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard. Like, you can't. Like, you have to kind of, like we said at the beginning, like, you have to be supportive of each other, but at the end of the day, you also have to be focused on your own goal. Like, you have to make sure that
For
you're
sure.
willing to get yourself where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's, anybody out there listening, it is, it's fun work, it's hard work, but it's not going to necessarily, you're not going to keep your lights on with it right away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's been a weird journey because I'm a pretty insecure, shy person.
Mm-hmm.
And advocating for myself when it comes to like marketing myself has been the hardest part. Like, I feel like I definitely could be a little further if I wasn't so like, hey, I'm pretty cool. Do you want to buy an ad? You know, like, so, yeah. And by the way, I'm so sorry. I'm such a tangent talker.
No.
And I've gone off on so many tangents.
Nonsense. Like, that is like, tangent is like the unofficial guest of the show. At any time when I make an episode, tangent is always welcome. I find some of the best conversations come out of the weirdest tangents. So, by all means, if you've got an idea, run with the thing.
Awesome.
But talking about new ideas and running with things, you had another show that you mentioned briefly earlier on called Mediums, which
yes.
I was a absolute massive fan of. I gobbled up as much of it as I could in, like, I think I did it over like 2 days. I blew through the entire thing. I absolutely loved it. Please tell me everything about that show.
So that was so fun. It was my first like fully produced show I'd ever done where I was just coming in to read. I did a little bit of, I helped with the writing a little bit. Like they asked for like personal stories and things like that. But for the most part, I was just the narrator. And like I said, I think having that focus and having the director was really great. At first, I was kind of like, no, I want to be a writer too, because I'm a writer, you know. But then having the focus of just the narration helped me so much more than I would have thought. But it was also just a fucking fascinating show. I mean,
yeah, totally.
There was so much information. Like I had already known a little bit from being into, you know, the macabre and things, but there was so much I didn't know. And it was, I loved delving into this era of, you know, spiritualism and Ouija boards, which that's another thing when you do shows like that, they have a pronunciation guide. So I will never say Ouija ever again because they were very like, it is Ouija and you will say it like that. And I was like, okay, that's in my brain for the rest of time.
Right. Some school teacher standing over you with a ruler, like you will say
it was
Ouija.
They would literally each week give me a pronunciation guide, which it was really helpful with names and things. But yeah, there were a few words that I was like, I've never pronounced it like that. And they're like, well, that's how you're supposed to. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's how I pronounce it now.
It's funny because it's one of those words that I feel like you're supposed to pronounce it this way. And the response is like, that's great. Nobody does, though. Like,
yeah,
I don't
exactly
think I've ever
like
heard
Ouija.
It pronounced Ouija. It's always been the Ouija board. Mm-hmm. So
when I say it out loud now, it's like I get a look like, oh, and I feel so pretentious because I'm like, well, I say it that way because that's actually how it's pronounced because it's we and ya and
right.
Like...
it's like people that say vase versus vase. Like it's a,
yes.
I had somebody describe it to me one time that if it costs more than $15, it's a vase. And if it's anything under that, it's a vase. So like that's always how
that's
I
kind of how I've always thought of it too. I'm like, oh, a vase is like a fancy vase.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one they send the expensive flowers in.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so obviously, like you go into a show like that, you said the topic was very interesting to you. What are your personal thoughts on mediums? Like, did the stories that you were telling in the show sway your views on mediums a little bit? Because they definitely did mine. I don't want to say I was like one of those like, drag them all out like the charlatans they are. Like, I understand that there's an entertainment factor in this and they're putting on a show and they're offering a service to people. But to hear like the way you were telling it, like the stuff with, oh God, of course my mind is blanking now.
With
Houdini, like Houdini's whole thing about trying to expose, like you really took the, like showed the point of like, yeah, what he was doing was a dick move. Like it was no different than like what people do on the internet now, trying to basically like ruin just people that like, you know, like it was that day's equivalent of people going and like shitting on She-Hulk.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. And we wanted to really find a balance between not being like, this is all fake. Mm. We highlighted a few mediums who were like, they're the evidence. I mean, they couldn't be debunked, you know?
Right.
And so some of them are really, those were really fascinating. And then, you know, you have your Houdinis who, when you really look into the era, I think we think of people a little stupider than they actually were.
Right.
Like there were a lot of people who were in on it. They knew it was entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, and it was dangerous that some people were swayed and like were scammed, but that wasn't everybody. A lot of people went to this knowing it was entertainment. They didn't really believe in it. And Houdini doing what he did, you know, you can think it's, I mean, I don't want to say it was all bad, but I don't think it was as noble as people think it was. His journey was where he was, I mean, he went out of his way to, and it wasn't lost on me that he went after women mostly.
Right.
Like there were also men who were doing spiritualism at the time, and he like viciously wanted to ruin these women's entire livelihoods, you know? And at the end of the day, some of them were even saying this is entertainment, you know, and he still was just like, no, I want you like to the point of living in the streets, you know? And so I loved the balance that the writers found that we all discussed of, we're not going to say all mediums are fake because a lot of us on the, like a lot of the writing team don't believe that. They think there's something mysterious in the world.
Yeah.
And we also didn't want to go with the normal, like, yeah, Houdini was just doing this noble effort to stop scam artists. And that's all he was doing. He was just doing great stuff. And it's like, no, he was kind of a dick.
He was kind of a dick. Like, he was kind of well-actuallying, like, the entire, like, of that era. He was, like, the well-actually guy. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, have you seen this new entertainment thing? People are going and it's spooky and da-da-da-da. And he was like, well, you know, it's not real. Like, great. Like, as a pro wrestling fan, this is the equivalent of, like, people that tell
exactly.
me it's fake.
Exactly.
Like, oh, well, you know they're not really hitting each other. Well, you know how, you know, Game of Thrones isn't real, right? Like, you know that there's not actually dragons. They made those on a computer. Like,
I know.
Like, shut up.
Imagine
and let people
going
enjoy
to, like,
things.
A David Blaine show and him being like, yeah, it's like, it's just a, like, it's not real. And
yeah.
It's like, yeah, I
no,
know
it's just
not
a trick.
Really magic. Like, fucking asshole.
That's why the second yeah. word is show, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. And again, I know people, and people still to this day get scammed by fake psychics and things.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But I'm so glad you noticed that. It's like I don't think he even cared that much. I really think a lot of it was just his own ego and his own vanity.
He was
just
being mean-spirited,
you
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there was, like, that was his realm, and he wasn't going to let some lady come in and try and steal some of his thunder. Like, well, Houdini
exactly.
can't speak to the dead. What's wrong with him? You know, kind of thing. Like,
I don't know. And I think a lot of it, there was a little bit of Puritanism in it too, because
yeah.
some of these women would get, you know, they would fully get naked during their seances, or
right.
like, you know, there would be, you know, there was a little bit of a sexual aspect to mm-hmm. some of them, not all of them, but I think he was a little bit mad about that too, where it's the same thing with dudes and who were like, oh, you, OnlyFans isn't a real job, so
right,
you
right.
deserve to die. And it's like, okay, calm down. How about she's not hurting you at all, so
yeah.
why do you care, you know?
Like, you can't change the channel back then because there was nothing to change the channel to, but you could seriously
yeah.
just walk the fuck on by. Like,
right?
It takes no effort to say nothing. Like, no
yeah.
one asked. No one asked for your fucking opinion,
and
yet, and here,
honestly,
and yet here we are.
Yeah, the private seances, most of them were for rich people anyway. Like,
right.
who the fuck cares if they were getting scammed, honestly?
Seriously.
Like, the people who are actually, like, the bakers and candlestick makers weren't paying for a private seance,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
These are
exactly.
the elites who have plenty of money to spend, you know?
And even if they did go in there not thinking that it was a phony show, or I don't want to say phony because it makes it sound, you know, diminished, but like that it, mm-hmm. it was a show, it was a performance, like they still might have gotten something out of that, that like maybe they went in there like, oh, you know, I'm not sure, but then their grandmother or their grandfather came through,
mm-hmm.
you know, that maybe that person saying what they heard their grandmother or grandfather say to them made that other person feel better. Maybe they
Did
went home that night and they slept
yeah.
a little bit better because something that had been weighing on their mind was no longer weighing on their mind. Like, oh,
yes,
my, you know, my grandmother,
yes.
I hope she's okay. It upsets me so much. And then they hear, I'm fine. Everything's fine. Don't worry
mm-hmm.
about me anymore. Like, is that really bad? Like,
yeah,
is there really anything bad
movie
about that?
Who did that really beautifully? Was it The Awakening? Is that what it was called? And it starts in the beginning, and it's, I think it might be Rebecca Hall. She was, she debunked seances, and it was set in that era.
Yeah.
And there's an opening scene where she debunks, and she, like, stands up at the table and shows how it's all done. And this woman, she's like, you're welcome. You're not really talking to your dead son. And the woman slaps her and is like, this was making me feel better, you bitch. They said
right.
it. All old-timey, but basically that was the gist of it. You
oh my
know?
God, I think I watched that like 2 weeks ago. I think that was
yeah,
on and I
and
saw
I,
some of it, yeah.
Yeah, and I loved that. I was like, oh my God, there were some people who were, it was like, this was just making me feel kind of better. I mean, honestly, it's even like, you could even go so far as to say like prayer. Like prayer makes people feel
yeah.
good, even if you yourself don't believe in
yeah.
prayer.
Yeah.
What is the harm in them believing in it? You
Nothing.
Know what I mean? And so, yeah, I'm so glad you got that out of it.
So, do you have any personal experiences with mediums or anything like that? Like,
you
have
know,
you,
not
have you
really
been to one or?
I went to one psychic in Hollywood when I was like 21 years old. And me and a friend like drunkenly stumbled into this place on Hollywood Boulevard. And
yeah.
we went in and the girl was probably younger than us, and I was only 21. She looked like a teenager, and she was like, okay, so it'll be, I think it was like this, and this was a long time ago because it was like, I don't know however long ago I was 21, but she was like, it'll be $80 for a personality test or a personality traits or something like that. And it'll be 100 and
something. Did you wander into like a Scientology thing or something?
It wasn't Scientology. It wasn't. But that's what's, it's so funny that you say that, because it was. It was like personality traits, and it was like $100 and something for like a real psychic reading. And I was like, and I remember my friend, she was much more like boisterous than me. She was like, I'm sorry, you want us to pay you $80 to tell us what our own personality is? And we left and we went and got tattoos instead. You know, choices were made. We spent our $80 somehow. Yeah. But
and you could argue that that was a better decision, because somebody willing to charge you $100 to tell you what you already know is a waste. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yep. So that was, I've had my cards read once by someone who, I don't know if she wants people to know, but she's a friend of both of ours in the groups. And that was a really, I had never had my cards read before, which it's so funny. People who know what kind of industry I'm in, they're always surprised. They're like, how have you not seen psychics? How have you not had your cards read? And I'm like, the opportunity just hasn't come up. I don't know. And I'm super cheap, so I'm not willing to pay for anything ever.
It's not like a normal, like, you don't just walk down the street and you're like, oh, psychic shop, I'm gonna go in there and get a reading. Like, you have to kind of look that, you have to look for it. Like, if you want that, you have to go looking.
Exactly. But yeah, I got my cards read recently, and that was a very interesting experience. Like, I wept. It was,
wow.
It was things that she, and I mean, some people out there are going to judge me so hard, but it was things that she couldn't have known, things that she predicted that ended up happening.
Right.
And these are things that weren't necessarily in my control either, where it's like, oh, well, she suggested this, so you went ahead and did it.
Right.
These are things that like weren't really in my control that happened. And it was amazing. It really made me not like turned me into a believer, because I'm one of those who I'm a skeptic of many things, but I'm also I wouldn't call myself like a non-believer either. Mm-hmm. I do definitely believe in some sort of something.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to call it, but that was a really fascinating experience, and I had never had that before. So
I always like to say that there's plenty of magic in the world. Like, the things that we've discovered with science used to be considered magic before we figured out how exactly they worked.
Oh, yeah. So. I mean, going back to mediums, I had that episode where I actually read the transcript from a seance from 18-something.
Yep.
And the director and producer and I all discussed it, and we were like, I don't know how they did this. Like, even though this is supposed to be evidence that it was fake, and like, I can see why. I don't know how they did it, though. I don't know how they pulled off what they did. Like, this person talks about touching this ghost who has like cold skin and like, or like warm skin. I forgot what it was. And like, it was like, you know, just really great magic. Going back to David Blaine, where it's like, I know it's probably fake, but like, how the fuck did they do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I still, with my modern day brain, I don't know how they did that. So like, I don't know why Houdini was, the only reason I can think of him trying to take people down so hard is because they were better at magic than him.
That's exactly it. Like, it's like sour grapes, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just the wrong reason to do anything. So Houdini?
Yeah.
Fuck you. Like, whatever. How was the reaction to the show? Like, did you have a lot of, like, Scare You to Sleep fans come over and be like, yes, 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 I love this? Or was there kind of some, given the topic, did you get any kind of, like, people that were like, well, I don't believe in that shit?
You know, it was a lot of Scare You to Sleep fans. I gained a lot of fans from that, too. I think people liked my voice, which is great. But I didn't get as much feedback as I would have wanted from that show. And I think it's because it wasn't my show. Like, all of the contact thing information in the show notes wasn't to me, it was to Parcast or, like, you know, the mediums people.
Right.
So
you might not necessarily even see it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that was one thing, is like, I just didn't have access as much as I do with my own show as for that show, basically.
Right. Well, from one listener, that show kicked so much ass.
Thank you.
It was so enjoyable.
I know people ask me all the time if there's going to be a season 2, and I'm like, go tweet at Parcast and ask them for one and tell them you want me back, because I'm happy to do one.
I do the majority of my podcast listening to, like, during the day, like when I'm washing dishes. and stuff
Same.
So like I said, I had binged like the whole season, and I thought that it was, I didn't realize it was kind of a one-off, or not necessarily a one-off, but like you at that point you had only really planned that bulk of episodes. So I got to the last episode, and I just like, I think I yelled to the out, I would like to, you know, to nobody. I was just like, fuck, like there's no more, like I have to, like, damn it, like I wanted more mediums. So yeah, go tell somebody that I said it was amazing.
Yeah, tell them. So everybody who's listening, go tell them. I was really proud of that show because I fought really hard when I was working for Spotify for another show. I was like, I'm not going to sit here and just do my show. I'm going to utilize my resources.
Yeah.
And so I bugged my boss every day about having a new show. Like every, I'm not kidding, I was so annoying.
And did they give it to you to like shut you up, basically?
Basically, probably. That's probably why it was so few episodes. They're like, just give her a few episodes, she'll just like stop bugging.
They're probably all sitting around a room like, oh, this is really popular, should we keep it going? No, 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 no.
No, we don't want her back. No, but yeah, so it was great. It, in fact, my boss at the time left during, like, when we were in the first stages of planning it. And I was like, oh, well, that's the end of that. But then everybody who was involved was really excited about it, luckily. And they were like, let's do this still. And so that was, it was a lot of fun.
Well, I loved it. So
thank you.
There you go. All right. So I feel like that covers, like, the business portion of the show. And, yeah. All right. So it's spooky season. Like, this is, like, your, this is your time of year. What do you watch for the Halloween season? Do you have anything specific that you love to like every year kind of sit down and watch?
You know, I don't. I basically just kind of do a grab bag of like horror. I try to find stuff that I hadn't been as popular necessarily, but like, you know, like stuff that kind of fell under the radar. Like just last night I watched this movie called The Humans, which was like categorized as like horror drama,
right?
And I hadn't heard of it. It came out in 2021, has a phenomenal cast, and so I try to like find little stuff like that, because you know, like, you, we consume horror all year long, even though it, this is, so I feel like I take the spooky season to do the less the road less traveled for me anyway.
Yeah, that makes total sense. That like,
yeah,
it's almost like people that say like St. Patrick's Day is for kind of the like the casuals. Like, it's, if you, you know, if you drink all year long, like St. Patrick's Day is nothing. Like if we, like you said, if we watch horror all year long, spooky season is just, you know, it's just October basically. Like,
yeah,
it's,
and it is, as there is a certain magic to it. There is, like everyone's involved and everyone's really excited, and I love the visuals. I love, you know, jack-o'-lanterns everywhere and witches and ghosts and stuff. And so I like we watched the new Hocus Pocus because that seemed like completely October appropriate, you know, and things like that. And I'll probably usually catch the original Hocus Pocus if it's on TV and stuff. But yeah, I think I feel like October, and I'm so overloaded with like the pressures of being a horror show during October.
Yeah.
We always have like, I was just talking to a producer over at Bloody Disgusting about this, and they were like, we were joking about how anyone who produces horror shows during October, like, don't talk to us until November. Like,
right.
Just don't. And in fact, I've had a few people who I'm like, can you email me in November about this opportunity? especially this year, I've been writing for a different show. The one I mentioned in the beginning, I've been writing several like full length episodes for that show. And it just kind of lined up to where it's around this time.
Yeah.
Plus I'm writing some stuff for my show. Plus I have the live show coming up and I'm writing for that too. And it's like, I told a friend of mine, Rosemary, you know, Rosemary.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was telling Rosemary, it was like literally midnight on November 1st. My brain is going to be leaking out of my ears.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You'll be oozing candy corn out of your ears.
Yeah. If you're listening, that does not mean I don't enjoy it. This is something done to myself and I love it, but it's like a lot. If you have, if you love a horror podcaster in October, go give them a hug.
Right. Tell them you're thinking about
them. Yeah.
Do you, so you said, you know, you live in California. Do you go anywhere fun around the holidays? Because I feel like out there with the weather being nice, it's a little more conducive to like outdoorsy type Halloween
haunts.
It is,
but like it makes it suck because we've had Octobers where, like, I mean, just last week, this week it's been really nice. Today's actually a beautiful, it's 72 degrees. It actually feels like fall, which I know is not even fall for you guys back there.
No.
But
if you said 72, I'd be like, what is this, summer?
Well, that's the thing. Last week it was still in the 90s.
Yeah.
And it was like, this doesn't fucking feel like October. You know, we watch the, over here in Southern California, we watch all the Halloween movies and the Christmas movies. And it's like, that's not what it looks like here.
Right.
And, so, but we do, you are right. There are a lot more outdoor things. Like every year we do, it's called the Haunted Hayride at Griffith Park. And it's so cool. It's like, you know, we don't really have like actual hay rides here, but Griffith Park is this very old park. Some people may have heard of it. It's actually the park where you can climb, you can hike up to the Hollywood sign.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got an abandoned zoo there, which is so fun to hike to. It's literally like the old fashioned cages and stuff. Right. They just left them there.
That's insane.
From like the 30s. And so it usually goes through the abandoned zoo and they utilize the old cages for like part of the horror. And so that's a lot of fun. And it's a really big production. Like it's the production value's gotten better every single year. There was one year, it was like you're on the hayride, you're driving through, going through, and there's like this, not a classroom, more like a church setup. And you see all these people in pews. And this like, and it's clearly like a cult or something.
Right.
And the person at the altar is like this, the priest, the evil priest, I don't know what you would call him. He's like standing there in this red robe, like, you know, doing this evil, you know, church service. And all of a sudden the hayride stops. And this, the priest person raises like 50 feet in the air. Like,
what?
Yeah, just like raises up into the air. And then as you're watching them, you haven't been paying attention to the fact the other cult members are coming to like attack the hayride.
Oh, that's insane.
And yeah, like I said, the production values. One thing that's great about living in LA is like you have these people who work in actual productions.
Yeah, they're all pretty close by. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. You get to see some cool stuff like that. And we'll do every once in a while, we'll do Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios.
Yep.
And that's always a great time. That's fun if you like really like IP driven haunted houses. If you like had a favorite movie haunted or horror movie that year and you want to see a haunted house about it, there you go. Like this year they have like The Black Phone and a few others. So yeah, that's always cool.
Yeah, we have it's the Headless Horseman Hayrides, which I guess is like one of the top haunts in the country. Like they have, I don't know if they still are, but they were for like several years.
All the top haunts are not down here in Southern California. They're always somewhere that I wish I could go.
Right. Well, if you ever make your way to the East Coast around the holidays, I will 100% meet you there and we can like...
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
We can scream as people jump out.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That's one thing. I'm such a chicken when it comes to walking through horror. Like, I think that's one reason I really like the hayride is because I'm physically being dragged through it.
Right.
Where like...
It's not your choice anymore. House
where I'm having to walk, there have been, I have walked through several haunted houses where my eyes have been closed the whole time and I'm clutching on to the person next to me to just guide me.
Yeah. I get the downfall of, like, I don't, like, most people look like they don't want to jump out and try and scare me. Like, I give off.
Oh, yeah,
kind of
I can imagine.
Like, so,
like, that guy's going to punch me.
Right? Like, he's like, no, I'm like a teddy bear for Christ's sake. Like, you know.
Do you see that beard?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, all right. So we're coming to the end of my, list of notes here. So to wrap this up, why don't talk about some movies, some horror movies that you love that might surprise people. Cause I always feel like that's like the ones that people feel like that no one else is going to like are usually the best ones to talk about.
Yeah. Oh my God. What a question. Oh my God. I don't know.
It's tough, like, right?
It is. It's tough. And also, one thing about movies, I'm pretty easy to please. Okay. So whenever I see new movies, like it has to be pretty bad for me to not like, oh, you know what I just saw? And that's one that's, I think is going to be pretty controversial. I haven't seen as many people talking about it as they should. Maybe like a lot of people didn't see it, but it was Barbarian. Have you seen Barbarian
yet? I haven't yet. And we were sitting down the other night talking about like stuff that was out that we hadn't had a chance to see it. Like we hadn't seen, like we just recently saw X, but we didn't see it in the theater. We, of course, we rented it and then it immediately hit streaming like the next week. So I was like, great, paid $10, didn't have to, whatever.
Oh my God. I just did the same thing with X. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. It's streaming now. So I haven't seen Pearl yet, but and then I mentioned Barbarian. And I was like, I would really love to catch that. I didn't know a ton about it, but I had seen a lot of people saying that they had really enjoyed it. So I wanted to check it out. And that, I guess, is going to be streaming in like next week or something.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be out in stream. It's really good. I feel like they did a very like William Castle-esque hype up of like, you know, showing the people screaming in theaters and things. Yeah. And so I appreciate that. I love ridiculous marketing. I love it.
Yeah.
Same with Terrifier 2 that just came out. Everybody's like, everyone's puking and passing out in the theaters. And like, I love it. Give that to me all day. I bring back William Castle, letting like making a skeleton fly across the theater like halfway through the movie. Bring it back. But Barbarian did kind of the same. And I brought a friend with me who isn't that into horror movies. Okay. And she was like, I'm doing this for you. She ended up really enjoying it. I'm not going to give anything away, it really is like they talk about how like don't look up spoilers. And it's true. It goes in a different way than you would have thought. And that was one reason I saw it, honestly, is because their whole marketing, I fell for it. They were like, don't let anyone spoil it for you. And I was like, okay, I won't. And I went like the day it came out. I told my friend, I was like, we're going. I don't want spoilers. They said, I'm going to trust their marketing team.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did. And she went in not knowing literally anything. And it was such a different experience. I love horror that isn't, I mean, same with my show where I love horror that isn't just kind of the same thing recycled.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that I don't love the same thing recycled, because
it's nice to have something new.
I also love that too, but it was very different and like ridiculous in the best way. Mm-hmm. Like not funny, but like
just over the top.
Again, I can't give anything away, but you'll see. And I highly recommend Barbarian once it's streaming.
I will definitely check that out. So it's like you mentioned Terrifier 2. Like with the marketing and everything. I'm friends with somebody who was involved with that movie. So I have been seeing stuff about Terrifier 2 forever. Like since it was just like, hey, Terrifier 2 is coming. And it's
oh my God.
And
same,
it's 2.5 hours long, you know?
Yeah. My network is distributing it. Cinedigm is distributing it. So I've seen, it's been like on my radar for so long. Yeah.
Like, so when it finally hit, I was like, oh, I wonder how that's going to be. Because, you know, you hear 2.5 hours on a slasher movie like that. As a horror fan, like, my eyebrow cocks a little bit on that.
Yeah.
I feel like slashers are 90. You got 90 to, like, 110, maybe.
Yeah, otherwise you're exhausted.
Yeah. Like, it's just a little too much. And then I saw that people were kind of not upset about the runtime at all. And I was like, all right. I didn't love the first one. I don't always do well with like just the straight up gore for the sake of gore.
Honestly.
But I feel like I will give this one a shot because it has more to it. Like it has, for lack of a better word, some flesh on the bone. So I will definitely give that a shot.
Yeah, and you know, the fact that people haven't, at least on all the things that I've been seeing, they haven't been mentioning the runtime. And to me, I'm like, okay, that's probably a good sign then. If they're not mentioning the runtime, you know? So
I think I watched one review on YouTube where they mentioned it and the guy said basically like it wasn't a detriment. Like it managed to keep you going through the whole thing. Like you didn't necessarily even notice that you were there for 2.5 hours. So that's for me, that's key on a long movie. Like don't let me know that I'm there for 2.5 hours. So.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's like that. I just mentioned that the humans, I felt every minute of the 2 hours and 14 minutes or whatever it was. And
And then at the end, you're just tired. Like, how was the movie? I don't know. I need a nap.
It's just... Yeah. And it ended up being one of those, it's, you know, the horror where it's like, we're really, you know, humans are the real monsters, which can be done well. But this was more like, now I just like want to call my mom. And
right.
I don't know. Like,
It's supposed to make you think, not feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, don't hold that much of a mirror up to me. I don't want to see myself. I want to escape into horror. Come on.
I'm the audience, not the damn star. So
yeah. Yeah, there were moments like that where I was like, hey.
All right. I mean, I think we've do you have anything else you want to bring up?
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, this has been great. I'll come back anytime you want.
Oh, you are welcome. Anytime you want. Absolutely. Just say, chatting. Hey, what are you doing? And the answer is going to be nothing. Come on the show. So
I'll let you know if I'm ever there's every once in a while I have like a lull in where like I haven't been like asked to guest on things in a little while. And I'm like just kind of jonesing. It's not even about the guesting. It's about like just sitting and chatting with fellow horror people.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. So like I'll let you know.
Let me know. You're welcome anytime. So, all right.
This is perfect timing because my cat is starting to claw my feet. Like, hey.
Oh, man. You know, that reminds me, like, we got a kitten and I didn't get climbed during this. So I got lucky. I thought for sure I was going to get scaled. Lucky me. All right, friends, if you're still listening, and I hope you are, that brings us to the end of another episode. Shelby, this has been fantastic, and I'm a little thrown off because usually this is where I would do the tell us about what you've got going on, but we did all that at the top.
Yeah, we did all that because we knew.
Yeah, we were just proactive on that. We knew that we would be exhausted at the end, and here we are. But thank you again so much for coming on the show and classing up the joint.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
I've been wanting to come on, but I didn't want to like ask.
It's a tricky thing. Like, you don't want to be like, hey, what do you, can I come on your show?
Hey,
like,
I thought it too. Can I be on your show?
Right. So from now on, you are more than welcome. You just let me know and
we'll
make it happen. This has been fantastic, like I said. And you coming on here was a very big deal for me. And this was an amazingly easy interview. So,
thank you.
Thank you very much for dealing with my ums and ahs and stumbling over words here and there.
I'm an ummer as well. I cut out a lot of my ums and my rambles because I'm an ummer.
Yeah. Somebody told me about editing software that would cut those for you. And I said no, because I was afraid that the episodes would be like 20 minutes long if you cut all my ums and ahs out. But I don't know. So, all right. That's going to do it for this time. Again, thank you for coming on the show, Shelby. Go listen to Scary to Sleep. Go binge mediums. Go see her in Chicago at the live show. And go buy shit tons of her merchandise because it's all very cool.
Yeah. Buy my merch.
Yeah,
I have a sale on merch right now. It's 20% off until November. So, yeah.
So she can roll in that sweet, sweet podcast money. Ah. Friends, until next time, this has been Aaron, and I'm signing off. Shelby, say goodnight to everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Later, y'all.